The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
President Trump finally bowed to pressure yesterday evening and committed to a peaceful transfer of power to President-elect Joe Biden. In a video message posted to his now reactivated Twitter account, the president adopted a more moderate tone as he committed to at last allowing a Biden administration to take power on the 20th of January.
We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation.
Now, Trump's tonal shift continued in the video. He had this message for his supporters who stormed the Capitol on Wednesday.
Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay.
At least one lie in there. He said he immediately deployed. He did not immediately deploy. He delayed deploying, and it took Mike Pence, the vice president, to deploy to finally eject the insurrectionists from Capitol Hill. Well, the rather dramatic shift from Trump comes amid a number of high-profile resignations from senior members of his administration and widespread calls for President Trump's removal from office before Inauguration Day on January the 20th. Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi had this to say on the subject.
In calling for this seditious act, the president has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the vice president to remove this president by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment. If the vice president and the cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment. That is the overwhelming sentiment of my caucus.
And it seems the more moderate messaging of the president hasn't sunk in for a number of his allies. Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz had this unusual theory as to where Wednesday's riots at the Capitol originated.
I don't know if the reports are true, but the Washington Times has just reported some pretty compelling evidence from a facial recognition company showing that some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters. They were masquerading as Trump supporters and, in fact, were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa.
The Washington Times unsurprisingly retracted that demonstrably false claim, but not until, of course, it had spread far and wide among Trump supporters online. And this is against the evidence of people even identifying themselves quite clearly as Trump supporters and being identified by the authorities as such and glorying in their occupation of the Capitol building. Well, we're joined now by U.S. journalist Marcy Wheeler. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, I described Trump's Twitter concession, if that's what it was, as gross hypocrisy. Are people seeing it as anything other?
I think people are also seeing it as an attempt to avoid any legal responsibility for the mob. One of the police officers who responded to the riot passed away yesterday from injuries that he suffered trying to push back the mobsters. And that really broadens the legal exposure of everyone involved. And Trump was already, I think, very clearly at some criminal risk. And now he's at much greater risk because that police officer was murdered. So that's, I think, what the message should best be understood as. And given how changeable President Trump is, who knows what he's going to say today. That was a very scripted speech, and he'll wake up today and who knows what he'll tweet out.
Now, the policeman who died, he was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher. So now we are talking about murder in some form or another, whether it's murder one or murder two, whatever it might be. It might be legally difficult to incriminate the president in all of this, even though what happened was a pretty direct result of his own incitement.
Well, I think with the murder in the United States, that opens up a larger charge for murder as part of a burglary, for example. If you break into someplace illegally and somebody is murdered as a result, then everyone who broke in can be held liable for it. But the other thing is, as you mentioned, there was the delay in the deployment of the National Guard and some refusals earlier in the week to deploy them. If that happened because Trump installed very loyal, junior, inexperienced people in the chain of command, we're still investigating. But if that happened based on his orders or the orders of people he installed, then he's got the liability of not responding, of deliberately undermining law enforcement to protect against these sorts of things. The investigation has just started. One of the things that the FBI said is that the Capitol Police allowed all of these protesters, these mobsters, to leave without arresting them. And so now they're trying to reconstruct who was there based off these social media postings. And so it's going to take a little while to figure out exactly what happened.
A couple of those responsible for security at the Capitol have resigned. They would have been fired in any event. But is there any clearer understanding of why they weren't better prepared for this eventuality? Even as they saw the crowds massing, they clearly had a bigger policing operation to do. Maybe they didn't expect so many hundreds of thousands of people, but when they saw them arrive, you'd imagine that somewhere they would have been preparing a contingency, but clearly it wasn't there.
Yeah, I think the most charitable interpretation of it is that it was a massive intelligence failure, because I knew there was going to be violence. Everyone I knew in D.C. was staying home. They were being warned. The businesses were boarding up. So people expected violence. And these people were talking about it on Parler, on the social media site, for weeks in advance. So they should have known, but it's possible they just didn't take those threats of violence all that seriously because of the fact that they're right wing or the fact that they're white. There's been a lot of discussion already about the disproportionate policing targeted against Black Lives Matter last year as compared to this. And then the other question is, again, the most charitable interpretation is that DC was trying to avoid what happened last summer, where Trump basically brought in the military and people got gassed and so on and so forth. But it's also, we will have to see why the Capitol Police were not more prepared, why they, in some cases, were frankly friendly with these protesters. And that's another thing that I'm sure we'll find out in investigations going ahead.
What do you think Trump supporters will make of his change of direction in his tweet yesterday, saying these were heinous crimes and people should be punished? Because having seen some of the interviews with Trump supporters who were there, many of them believe this is a global conspiracy and that whatever is happening is a coalition of 180 nations all trying to undermine them. But are they likely to believe that the president was actually speaking in code, that he doesn't really mean what he's saying?
Yeah, a big subgroup of these people are QAnon, and everything to them is code, right? So they might well believe it's code. Others, what he didn't do was basically say, you lost, I lost, we all lost, we lost fair and square. And short of doing that, they're still going to believe that he was robbed. They're still going to believe that violence is their only solution. I think that there are this violence has been going on in the United States since the spring. There was a similar protest in Michigan, which was an anti-COVID protest, and he encouraged it. And so these people have been getting riled up for now 9 months, and I don't imagine that they're just going to go away very quickly.
Now, we've seen a couple of cabinet resignations. Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, a very surprising choice in the first place. But Elaine Chao, the wife of Mitch McConnell, been very quiet all these years, 4 years in the administration. What's all that about? I mean, is it the rats and the sinking ship, or are they really trying to signal something about the president that they were there to keep him on the straight and narrow, but now enough is enough?
I think both Elaine Chao and Betsy DeVos, they're not surprising as resignations. I think Chao, as you mentioned, she's McConnell's wife. I think that they together feel very betrayed by what Trump did. McConnell was trying to do his constitutional duty, and he got targeted for that. In DeVos's case, some of her staffers and, frankly, politicians who are close to her in Michigan in recent months have started distancing themselves from Trump. They are more of the Mike Pence Coke wing of the Republican Party, and I think they'd like their party back now. So those two resignations aren't that surprising. I think a lot of the junior people who are resigning, some of them are doing so because they're not going to be able to get jobs unless they make a very public separation from Trump. And I think some of them just always believed that they could either keep an even keel in the administration or try and do some good or try and prevent things like this from happening. So people are resigning for different reasons. It does send an important message, but it doesn't take away the power that the president has.
12 days to go before this transition to Joe Biden. Heaven knows what mischief the president could get up to. There are those, I think John Kelly was saying yesterday, there's no way that anyone will allow him to do anything. They simply won't obey his orders if he demands, for example, the bombing of Iran. It just is not going to happen. But is he likely to attempt multiple pardons, including of those who invaded Capitol Hill, even though he's condemned it as a heinous crime, self-pardon, pardon his family? Is that why he needs to hang on and not be dumped in the next 12 days?
Yeah, I mean, he's already been saying he's going to pardon his children and Jared. And there's no reason he won't try a self-pardon because Mike Pence isn't going to give him one now. And so, you know, he has nothing to lose by self-pardoning. He's always been talking about pardoning Rudy Giuliani, who has a key role in this as well. The big question is whether he would pardon the broader co-conspirators. And there's no reason he won't. I mean, he's already pardoned four people who were prosecuted as part of the Russian investigation, and some of his children were exposed as well. He, in a list I saw of the pardons he plans in the last 4 days, he was talking about the people who've been in the bunker with him. So Stephen Miller and John McEntee and Mark Meadows, his chief of staff. And so he clearly seems to think that they're implicated or that they've done something that has some kind of criminal exposure. And I think that's really the most important reason to impeach him or to remove him right now, because you can't have an investigation of what happened if all of the people who would be investigated don't face any legal liability. I mean, that's one of the problems with the Russian investigation itself, is that everyone expected and sure enough got their pardon. And therefore, the investigation was sort of halted by that. So I think he certainly will pardon the people closest to him who are involved in this.
Very briefly, finally, Marcy, the question of can they get rid of him? I mean, the 25th Amendment, a cumbersome business. They might start an impeachment process, which would not be complete by the 20th of January. I mean, can they get rid of him in the next day or two?
It's unclear. And the cabinet resignations that we talked about are, you know, there's a few days that could go fairly quickly. I think an impeachment actually could go fairly quickly. I just don't know whether Nancy Pelosi is willing to move that quickly. And it could get through the House very quickly. And then the question is, we don't know when the last Democrat will be sworn in the Senate. So we don't even know at this point who majority leader is in the Senate right now. And that could stall things at least till the 20th.
Marcy Wheeler in the United States, thank you very much for joining us.